Okay, we shall call to order continuation of this morning's estimates with Human Resources Secretariat. And I would ask that we go through the line by lines first, and then any probing questions in the interest of time come afterwards. And hopefully we can clue up before 12. Okay, so I think we're ready to start. So section 3.1.03. Yes, 3.1.01 carry. Okay, I turn it over to the minister, and once again I ask that she introduce the department heads and then.
Sure.
Continue.
First, to be expeditious, I'd ask the new members of the House of Assembly, you can read the mandate of the department as we go through the estimate lines. It's in posted, so to speed things up, I'll just make sure that you're reading that, and I'll turn to the deputy and ask him to introduce officials now that are sitting at the table.
Bruce Cooper, Deputy Minister, HRS.
Wanda Trickett, Departmental Controller.
Tina Follett, Assistant Deputy Minister of Compensation, Benefits and Staffing, Human Resource Secretariat.
Brian Miller, ADM Labor Relations, Human Resources Secretariat.
Wanda Penny, Assistant Deputy Minister of Client Services, Human Resource Secretariat.
Jennifer Tulk, Director of Communications.
And we turn back to the chair to begin questions.
You have the floor for opening remarks, and then we'll
I'll pass on opening remarks to provide more opportunity for the member to ask questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Fear, in regards to your comment in regards to time, so are we restricting it to 12, or when we report on estimates in the House, will we have an opportunity, if there's further questions, to ask them in committee? Or?
Well, we'll try and clue it up by 12 if we possibly can.
And with the Chair's permission, depending on the amount of questions that are left, certainly if we need to come back in committee to have further discussions afternoon, we can certainly consider that if that's something that the member opposite's open to.
Yeah, it's just going through with line by line and not being able to ask particular policy questions that I think it takes from the process.
I'm comfortable to approach it in the manner that the member opposite's comfortable with, but we certainly want to be expeditiously moving through.
Yeah, I agree.
Through,
so. Okay, thank you. Okay, 3.1.01, executive support. We see there in the salary allocations that pretty well it's constant. When we look at budget last year and the estimate for this fiscal year. So I'll just conclude there's no changes here in terms of staffing. It appears the status quo.
That would be the case.
Yeah. So the announcements in budget in regards to 650 FTEs, would this be an area where there would be consideration here, or how does that work?
On the details around the core government and agencies, boards, and commissions number that was released last week? Is that
yes,
the,
yeah.
Okay, do you want to provide some context around that?
Certainly. So can I have the question restated, please?
Okay, so in the budget there was reference to 650, I think, full-time equivalents. So that were part of, you know, going forward in terms of some of the steps that government's going to take in taking them out of the public service. In regards to the Human Resource Secretariat and executive support, are some of those positions being reviewed for that 650?
Bruce Cooper. Well, executive positions are, of course, the purview of the Premier's office and Cabinet Secretariat in terms of the machinery of government. We do have in our 3-year plan, we do have a plan to reduce by one executive over the 3-year term through our attrition.
Okay. through attrition?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. If we move down to transportation and communications, we see a significant drop there in regards to prior budget and this year. I'm just wondering for an explanation on that drop.
Sure. The change in the revised budget over the original budget is related to reflect savings from the 2015 budget and discretionary spending reduction. The actual change from original from the budget last year to the budget this year reflects the line-by-line estimate review in addition to savings related to telephone costs that were identified through the government renewal initiative.
Okay. And the discretionary savings here, would that flow up into a number, Minister, that you presented in the House in regards to $25 million? Would that be something that would be part of that?
Bruce Cooper? So the also included in the savings number here, part of our discretion pertains to travel. When we look back over past years, we have been reducing the amount of travel and moving more towards web conferencing and teleconferencing as a means to carry out our business. And you'll see that kind of theme emerging throughout a number of the expenditure headings.
So when we see transportation and communications, that, as you're saying, is probably a general theme through how you're delivering service.
Right. There's a general theme that we're moving towards more teleconferencing and web conferencing throughout HRS as a means to try to carry out our business. So the lion's share of our transportation communication cost really comes down to phones these days. That's the biggest item.
Okay, thank you. So the Human Resource Secretary, is that responsible for producing the departmental salary report in conjunction with the budget? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So is that, has there been a change made in that regards, or was it always done that way?
The
preparatory work for that.
Historically, has the report been generated by the Human Resource Secretariat? My understanding is that yes. This year, we are using, intend to use, the PeopleSoft software as a way to provide that information going forward. It is efficient and provides a quick, efficient use of technology that's been purchased to make sure that we've got public sector employees focused on public services as opposed to generating reports. It's very transparent, and certainly if we have member opposite has questions, we can provide that to them today.
Okay, thank you. Just a general one, as we finish up this section here, what role the Human Resource Secretary play in there's been release of information in regards to the Sunshine List in regards to government employees? What role would the Secretary play in regards to legal actions taken in regards to information that was released under ATIP? Would you play a role in that, or?
Bruce Cooper? So we are the keepers of the information on payroll and human resources. So we would certainly, if the question is what role would we play in helping to generate a list, we would be working closely with our client departments to generate a list to make sure that the information we have is accurate. And so we would certainly be the hub of the wheel when it comes to the production side of that information.
Okay, thank you. Now, human resources personnel elsewhere in government, so how would that work together with the secretary?
Sorry.
There's human resource personnel, other words, in government, directors, that work jointly with various departments. Just wondering what's that relationship?
Mm-hmm. Bruce Cooper? So HRS is currently a mixture of a shared service approach and center of expertise model. We have strategic human resource management units, and I think this is what you're referring to.
Yes,
so these, there are six on the books, and we have them organized by sector or department if a department is large enough. So we have all HR services that a department may need coordinated through currently five directors and a variety of staff. But there are some, we're introducing some change in this year's budget to the way that that model is set up, and we'll sure get into that when we get through the line by line here.
Okay. So those six outreach in other departments, there will be some modifications or changes to those?
Yes.
Okay, so 3.1.02, employee relations. So this, some understanding, would be the entity and resources for public sector negotiations, those types of things, obviously. Busy times coming up. I'm looking at... Zero-one salaries, when we look at a significant reduction in the salaries from the budget of previous fiscal year to what's been estimated this year. Just wondering to get an understanding of that.
Sure. The difference between last year's budget and this year's budget reflects a decrease consisting of $100,000 transferred of funding for one position to the Employee Wellness Division. It includes $58,400 transfer funding for one position to the Policy Planning Division. It also includes removal of funding related to the JES program, as those processes and work have been absorbed into the Human Resource Secretariat now. It also includes $38,000 savings as it relates to attrition targets, and an additional $435,700 cost restated of funding from the Department of Finance for 9 months for the JES Project Office. And Bruce can provide some additional information for you should you need it.
Okay. Just on the JES Peace Minister, I understand, if I remember correctly, I think it was a March deadline for those that were red circled and that were appealing. How many appeals have you done to date, and how many are outstanding?
Bruce?
Bruce Cooper.
We've completed 200 appeals to date, with impacting 870 or so employees. We have a little over 730 JES reviews outstanding, with a number of those being red-circled employees. That's the current statistics. We've had, and that, of course, the JES system was a big change for government, with over 32,000 employees affected, and 70% of the workforce in the core public service.
So, Minister, you mentioned some, I think it was just in terms of salaries, there's some reallocation of some dollars. So that's reflective of, I guess, the needs you're going to have to meet under JES and appeals going forward?
Yeah, the intention is that all the work that needs to be done to conclude the JES appeals would happen inside the resources inside the department. So there's been some additional changes to be able to accommodate that to happen in the best way possible.
Okay.
Did you want to add something, Bruce?
Bruce Cooper.
So yes, just further to the minister's point, we are moving to, because JES is now not a project, it is the way that we do classification. So we're moving to create capacity within the classification area to take over the work of JES when the project element concludes. We'll be concluding that project in the last quarter of this year. And as we go, staff are in that area are excellent, and they're improving their efficiency all the time, but we're going to be starting work with them this week to work on process improvement to try to address the backlog and get through this as expeditiously as possible, and drawing upon other resources if need be.
Okay. So just to be clear, I think you indicated the last quarter of this year you expect to have the appeals heard, or the current ones?
Our goal is to conclude our work in this area in the last quarter.
Okay.
You know, we are certainly working towards that.
Okay. Just then finally, the obviously the appeal, if if an applicant won an appeal, there could be a redress of a lump sum payment or something of that nature. Is that included in the budget allocations?
The historical costs related to JES, we've seen gaps where there are places where departments have not budgeted for JES, and certainly that's one of the problems in the past that has been challenging when you go to look at the expenses and the total costs associated with JES.
Okay. Thank you. In Section 3102, Employee Relations again, just to get an explanation in regards to transportation and communications and the reduction there from last fiscal year and the estimate for this fiscal year coming.
Sure. The difference between the original budget and the budget of this year relates to removal of the funding related in this particular area, specific to the JES program. In addition, savings of $6,100 related to line-by-line review, as well as savings associated with the government renewal initiative that related to telephone cost savings in this area.
Okay. When you say telephone cost savings, are you talking about a current contract that was in place and you reissued a new contract, or what would that be exactly?
Bruce Cooper. So the initiative here is to just go through and honestly review every one of our lines to ensure that they continue to be live lines if they're needed, and to look at the options. Sometimes there are people, it's actually surprising the amount of money that can be spent on add-ons that are on the bill you don't even realize, voicemail and things like this. So we believe there's money there through just reviewing our needs.
Okay, thank you.
And making sure that everything that government's paying for is actually being used by
amazing,
somebody.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah, I know. Again, just to, that same section in regards to supplies. We've seen the original budget estimate, what was actually spent went up, and then that's been adopted this year for a budget.
Sure. Bruce, you want to speak to that?
Bruce Cooper. The employee relations area is heavily involved in working on arbitrations and different investigation issues. And so this is what we've seen as a trend when we did our review, is that supplies are up because we are producing more paper reports in relation to arbitrations and these sorts of things. So this is why we've snapped the budget to our actual expenditure, because this is what was actually required.
Just reflective of your operations for the past year, basically.
Yes, what they need.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. So the next one is professional services. The 170 was there for last fiscal year. Wasn't achieved or wasn't required, and now this year that's adopted again. Could you just give me a comment on that, please?
Bruce Cooper. So the this has to do again with the work of arbitrations and working on conflict resolution. So what you see there was our actual requirement last year, and we expect to have a similar trend for this year coming.
And just for clarity, I was confused by what the member said opposite. The budget last year was 170. Actual costs are about 130, and the revised budget is 129.9. Was that the line you were asking questions about?
Yep.
Okay.
Good. So within that line as well, would that be consultants within that particular line item as well?
Bruce Cooper. Yes, they would be. They would be charged as consultants, but they would be largely, you were talking people with expertise in the area of labor relations.
Okay. Arbitrators, those?
Yes, correct.
Yes, yeah, okay. So they would be. We'd have a standing list or standing offer list, right, that we draw from?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's tied to the work you do. So really, you know, you can't really, I guess you just go on past experience of what you've seen and you continue to.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, I have nothing further on that section, Mr. Chair.
3.1.03.
No, we haven't done that yet. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. So 3.1.03, human resource policy and planning. We've seen in this section here salaries. We've seen somewhat of an increase here in regards to last year and this year in regards to the estimate. I'll just get an explanation in regards to the increase there.
Yep. And with the members' opposite's permission, it will make more sense to discuss this area in context with some other areas that we haven't gotten to.
Sure, yeah.
Because they kind of link
okay.
together.
Yep.
And it might make it easier for the deputy and I to clearly and openly and transparently
yep.
explain. Bruce, I'll let you dive in.
Okay. Bruce Cooper.
So there's a few things up at operation here inside this this heading. First of all, we in HRS, we have what's called the ODI Fund, the Organizational Development Initiatives Fund. And this was a fund that traditionally lived in two places. There was part of it lived under the Center for Learning and Development, and that was focused on staff training throughout government, legislative compliance training, and these sorts of things. And then part of it was in the Strategic Human Resource Management Units, so spread out to departments
okay.
to support department-specific training. So we, what we've done this year is a couple of things. We've consolidated all of the ODI funding under the Center for Learning and Development, and that is because we are also consolidating all of the training within HRS. All responsibility for HRS training is coming into this area. So there are going to be some individuals transferring out of their SHRM divisions into responsibility for the under the Center for Learning and Development. So that explains why you see a significant increase in the salary budget, because there's a transfer in of $900,000 related to a reorganization decision we've made. It's actually a little more than that, about $960,000 when you look at an information management position that we're also transferring in there. And this is what's behind this is the we've seen great efficiency through the Center for Learning and Development through the increased use of distance learning. And thus, we've seen significant travel savings in different areas because we're using more web-based approaches to learning. So we're moving training under here so that we can also try to generate some of the same savings within departments through that approach. So we believe by having a consolidated, singular approach to training, it's going to be more efficient and better for the client. So that's at play inside the salary growth and in some of the other lines you see here.
Okay, so just so I understand, so that transfer, is that all within the Human Resource Secretariat or just coming from outside? Any coming from outside or just?
No, it's all within HRS.
So all those training components are just being consolidated, I guess, under one heading? And,
yeah, okay. So there's some resources transferring out of what comes up later under 3105.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no reduction in positions as a result of that, is there, or is they're all pretty consolidated?
No, this is a consolidation.
Okay. Okay. Under transportation and communications, again, I just there's a reduction in regards to last year's fiscal amount and what's been estimated this year. Just again, if I could get just a comment on that.
Yeah, and it's would be a similar theme to what you've heard already. The difference in original budget and the revised is a result of savings by reducing travel requirements, leveraging technology, compliance with the directive that government implemented on discretionary spending in December, and the comparative number of $40,000 to $28,400 on the transportation communications in fiscal 16-17 comes from $10,800 worth of savings from the line-by-line review, and more savings, $800 coming from the telephone cost savings that we spoke about.
Okay, thank you. The purchase services, again, has increased from what was budgeted last year, and then the actual was way down from what was budgeted. This year it's up significantly again in the estimate. Let's get some information on that.
Sure. The purchase services increase includes $903,600 for GRI budget reallocations from other areas related to the consolidation of training that the Deputy Minister just spoke about. And it also includes, so there's a $903,000 cost, and there's a $372,700 savings from the line-by-line review of the estimates that we did. So the net amount there is $530,000, that you'll see that line item increasing. So it includes the consolidation, the increased spend in training that's now in this area,
okay,
and it includes $372,000 in savings.
Okay, so you pulled in
nine,
the accompanying purchase services from the other areas, and then within that you had a savings and a reduction.
And the savings on, so the training came in at 900,
yep,
and the savings of 372 came from the line-by-line review that we did.
Okay, thank you.
Bruce, did you want to add anything?
No.
Down in in the same section, 3.1.03, if we come down to 02, revenue and provincial. There's federal and provincial. There's revenue there. Just someone who could tell me about that.
Sure. The this relates to funding that's received for the French services.
Okay.
So the revenue now appears in this particular line item because there's revenue associated with providing that service. Bruce, is there anything else you want to add?
Sorry, Bruce Cooper. Yes, this is related to the consolidation of training. We're going to have the French language training led by the center now, so there's some federal revenue that comes from that. So,
is that new? Because it doesn't appear in prior years.
It would have been in
yes.
New for this area.
Yes.
Well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be part of the Office of French Services. We've transferred.
So it would have showed up, but now it's been transferred here.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we'll move to 3.1.04. And if I could, just when we go to 3.1.04, just to what we just spoke of, in that section 3.1.04, when you get down to revenue for federal and provincial, it's that number there would be added to the number above, because that's the heading for French language services. Has the overall amount increased, or has it been constant?
Bruce Cooper.
So we receive funding from the federal government, and it's a I think it's a 3-year agreement. Oh, sorry, it's a 5-year agreement. So yes, it's a constant funding rate. We do have the ability to generate some revenue from the offering of French language training,
okay,
and we do expect actually to see through arrangements with the federal government and their employees. Some increase in revenue this year associated with service provision, aside from the reimbursement of our through the grant.
Okay. Just to be clear, so who would Who would avail that service and who would pay for it? Just could you explain that to me? You said you could generate revenue. How would that work?
Bruce Cooper. So the some of the French language training that we offer, we have a contract with Eastern Health. As you know, they provide service to Saint-Pierre-Miquelon, and they, so they actually offer training to their staff, and we get reimbursed for that training to support that contract. And federal government employees, of course, there's a great incentive to bilingualism and working in the federal government, and so some people will, some with employer support, some with their own money might come and seek the support of the Office of French Services for French language
they
training.
They would pay a fee?
We do charge fees,
Sure.
But not for our own employees.
No, okay. Yep. Thank you. In that section 3.1.04, French language services and the salaries line, maybe just give me the one last year was 589,900. This year the estimate is 328,800. Yeah. Could you just give me some details
sure.
on that one?
Yeah, so there's $248,700 transferred, transferred funding related to the reorganization training that the deputy spoke about earlier.
Okay.
And then there's 12,400 related to attrition targets,
okay.
savings in, from the attrition.
So, so I'll just ask, I guess, we spoke attrition. So what's the attrition target for Human Resource Secretariat for upcoming fiscal year?
Bruce Cooper?
We have an annual target of five positions.
Five positions, an annual?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So your estimates for this year obviously reflect those five positions,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Professional services, under that heading, we've seen a reduction from what was budgeted, what was the actual for the fiscal year and next fiscal year. Maybe you just give me some comment on that as well.
Sure. There's specific to the $135,800, that's $500 in savings for line-by-line review and $64,500 from GRI savings resulting from the streamlining of the French language program.
Okay. So would there be consultants in that amount or that to be used?
Bruce Cooper?
Yes, we do hire some French language training is done by individuals in the community who are hired as consultants. It's not your traditional kind of advertising consultants or anything like that, but these are teachers, people who come in and offer evening classes.
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you. Purchase services, again, there's been somewhat of a significant increase from last year's budget to this year's estimates. Just get a comment on that as well.
Sure. Significant change there is $50,000, and that reflects an increase of costs associated with hosting the National Francophone Conference that the former administration would have committed to and we're hosting this year.
Okay. And I'm not sure if I already asked. I asked about the revenue federal-provincial there. There was some on the provincial side in prior year, but this year there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Provincial revenue would have been.
Pardon me?
Yeah, Bruce Cooper.
Right, this is the revenue that we transferred over, so it still exists, but it's over under the CLD.
Okay, great, thank you.
Just wanted to make sure that what I thought happened was actually what
happened. It's always good to check.
Before I jumped in.
Okay, so those two sections, Mr. Chair, I'm fine with those unless anybody else got any questions.
So maybe we could call for the vote on those two sections so we can...
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so it's... So 03 and 04?
03.
Okay, got 3.1.03 carry. Carried.
3.1.04.
3.1.04 carried. Carried.
3.1.05.
Okay. 3.1.05. When we go to, we'll start with salary line again. We see somewhat of a reduction, somewhere in the range of $600,000 for what was budgeted last year and the estimate for this year. I wanted to get some explanation on that one.
Sure. Bruce, do you want to provide that?
Bruce Cooper. So the revision from last year to this year relates to the transfer of funding, the transfer out to the CLD of some of the trainers. So this is the we transferred the trainers out to create that new centralized training function.
Okay.
That's the lion's share of the reason.
I think the SHRM coordinators are referred to. How many of those exist? How many positions?
The directors?
Yes.
We have six positions.
Okay.
Currently have five filled.
Okay, there's one vacant. Okay. But your budget is for the six positions, I guess. For
yes.
Okay. Thank you. Just a quick transportation and communications again. There's a reduction there from budgeted and previous year and what has been estimated for this year.
Sure, and that that difference, is, as we referenced before, would be primarily related to
savings achieved through the line-by-line estimate review, as well as the GRI telephone cost savings.
Okay. Purchase service as well, there's significant reduction there in regards to what was budgeted and in prior year and what's been in the estimate for this year. Get some comments on that, please.
Yep.
Bruce Cooper.
This is where we transferred out the training money from the SHRM to the policy head around the this is the ODI funding in large part. We
well.
Transferred out, we did transfer out, but there was a slight reduction, but we've had historical slippage in that area of a very significant level, so we're confident we have enough to be able to meet the needs.
Okay. Yet number two, the overall, under that same heading, operating accounts, there's a overall, we've gone from almost 1.6 to 387 for current year.
Bruce Cooper?
Yep.
Again, we're almost at $1 million associated with the ODI funding transferring out, so that's a significant portion of the change.
Okay. And just above there, property furnishings and equipment, that seemed to have gone up from prior year. Would that be related to some of the reorg you're doing? Or?
That would be related to
higher than anticipated expenditures. So year over year from the budget to the actual, that would have been related to expenditures as a result of ergonomic assessments. And the budget this year for 16 17 would be related to the combination of the savings that were achieved as well as expenditures under the Strategic Resource Management Division that would relate to expectations of spend based on what happened last year.
Okay.
Bruce Cooper.
Okay. And just to add, we also, in the spirit of consolidation, took responsibility because much of our PFE money is going for ergonomic assessments. We've moved it under this heading in order to engage the Employee Safety and Wellness Division in that work. So it just makes for better use of the money if we've got the people with that expertise overseeing it.
So that's ergonomic assessment throughout public service?
Throughout the public service.
Is that the core public service?
Actually, it's throughout HRS. I'm sorry, throughout HRS. It's
okay.
Our own operating.
Just HRS?
Yes.
So it's comparable to the same amount of people
as would have been availing the service last year, or the same lines of accountability. So there's been no shift in that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll move to 3.1.06, payroll and compensation benefits.
3.1.05. Okay, first we'll call for sub-headings.
3.1.05.
3.1.05, carry. Carried.
3.1.06.
3.1.06.
We're just about to do 3.1.06.
Okay. Okay. 3.1.06, payroll and compensation benefits. The salaries here are fairly consistent from, or not a big change. So I conclude that the staffing requirements are consistent from prior year in this division.
Salaries of the difference, it's about difference of $57,000 there.
Yep.
So some of that is related to the government renewal initiative reprofiling some savings, about $50,000, a little bit from JES, and about $500 from line by line. So to answer your question, before I gave all that information, I should have just said yes.
Okay. Thank you. Transportation and communications on that line, that seems to have gone up. Just wondering, get a comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Cooper.
One of the changes that we're going to make this year is the implementation of a service center. And so we need some money to buy the technology. So this is related. There's a few occurrences of this where as we move to set up service center and need to buy the right call center technology, we needed a bit of extra money in that line this year.
So what was that center again? Could you explain that to me?
Service center is something that we're moving towards as we restructure, and it will be a place where employees and our clients can call to ask any HR-related question at a tier one, tier two level. Your commonly occurring and occasionally occurring questions. So that's we already have some of this sort of approach at play in this area, but we're expanding it and going to move other HR services under that umbrella.
So that would just be, again, just realignment of your human resources to specifically meet that?
That's correct. It's a new method of delivery. We think it's going to be more efficient and more client, more user-friendly for the client.
So now you may call in, you may get qual around a whole bunch of places, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's precisely the issue.
Okay. Good idea. Thank you. Professional services, that line, we've seen nothing there in prior or current usage during this fiscal year, but we're seeing funds added in there for next fiscal year. I'm wondering what that would be.
So those would be the new costs that we anticipate that would be related to the service center.
Okay. I don't have anything further on that section.
3.1.06.
Okay, sure. 3.1.06, carried. Carried. Okay.
3.1.07. Okay. 3.1.07, benefits administration. I guess this is where the new pension corporation is. Is this what this is overseen here in regards to public pensions? So can I just get an update on where that's to in terms of the work of the corporation?
The work of the corporation?
Yeah.
I'd have to provide some information after estimates to make sure that it was current so that the last update I had is maybe a week old, and rather than providing information that's not current, I could certainly get that for you.
Okay, thank you.
You can also ask the corporation as well. I'm sure the chair would be happy to provide an update on where they are as
well. Yes, maybe I'll touch base and see what's happening. Okay, so 3.1.07. The salaries, we've seen a reduction there from what it was last fiscal year and what's been estimated this year. Just wondering, get some an update on the change there.
Absolutely.
Bruce Cooper?
We had money in the budget last year to support the transition from Desjardins Financial Services to Great West Life. That included money for some staff, and there were some other costs you're going to see throughout here. Now that the transition is complete, we don't need that money anymore. So we actually had three positions that we had for fiscal 15-16 only. Removing them for next year is $150,000 of what you're seeing there.
I'm just curious, how did that go overall? Because it was a big undertaking, I think, you know, in terms of the transition.
Bruce Cooper? I think the overall transition, I mean, there's always issues when you're transitioning from one to another, but I think overall the transition went well. Certainly hear that employees appreciate some of the more modern features of their coverage or of the client service side of the Great West Life. There are, you know, naturally there's always in any transition there are issues that need to be worked out, but we've got a good line of communication with our employees and through the Group Insurance Committee and are proactively working on matters as they come up.
Okay, good. Thank you. If we could just go to professional services in regards to funding that was allocated past fiscal year and nothing for this fiscal year and get a comment on that.
Sure. The it's the elimination of the budget that was required for the group insurance changeover.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
There was no spending required anymore.
Again, purchase services as well. Again, would that be related, or seems like well, there was little spent this fiscal year.
Bruce Cooper.
The originally, there was a plan to move the pension staff out of HRS. We were going to consolidate all client functions on Monday Pond. With the movement to the new pensions corporation, that rent money was no longer necessary. So the move is not taking place for the for that group.
So the intent was to move them to Monday Pond, but
correct.
Okay.
But that was an original plan. There was money carried in our budget for that.
Okay.
And then with the decision to go to the Pensions Corporation, we don't we won't be doing that anymore, obviously.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, again, the revenue line, maybe you can give me some commentary on that and what that reflects.
Sure.
Bruce Cooper.
The revenue relates to... we provide a variety of services to the pensions administration, around the pension administration, and as well we provide services on behalf of the group insurance process. So there's some revenue that we realize as a result of that. Anything else I'm missing?
This would be similar to cost recovery models for work that is being done by government on behalf of the pension corp or on behalf of the group insurance plan.
Okay.
This has been, the group insurance one has been standard and something that's been happening for a period of time. And the cost recovery as it relates to the pension corp, my understanding is that that was agreed to between the pension corp and government in prior, before I got here.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's it for that section, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So 3.1.07 carried.
Mm-hmm.
Carried.
3.1.08.
I'll just start off saying, you know, we've gone beyond our 3 hours now. We have two subheadings left. If we can clue it up quickly, we'll do it. The other two options are to reconvene or to not meet again and deem the two subheadings carried. So if you have...
I don't have a lot more questions. If you want to, maybe we'll try 10 or 15 minutes, see how we get.
Yep. How long do you figure?
Maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Yep. I'll leave it to the chair.
10 minutes.
Yeah. So if I don't get through, what's the plan?
Well, then, you know, this at put just these two headings left, and we'll deem everything as carried.
And reconvene, or? So can we do it in committee?
So why don't we?
No, it cannot be deferred outside of this government service committee.
Mm-hmm. So let's.
We'll see how it goes, and then we'll go for something.
Okay, so 3.1.08. So this looks at recruitment of staff in the public service, and obviously looks at conducting the merit-based competitive process. And I'm just wondering, in a general sense, will this overlap with the Independent Appointments Commission and the Public Service Commission's work? Will there be anything? There'll be nothing totally separate still, will it?
No, I don't know. No, there's no interaction with this unit.
Okay, just curious as all, because of the merit-based competitive process was mentioned. Okay, thank you. So just a general question in terms of the overall the government renewal initiative and some of the announcements in budget in regards to full-time year-round equivalents and the reduction in the public service. In a general sense, how do you foresee that rolling out over identifying positions and that process as we move forward?
Well, the information that was released on the FTEs as it relates to the ABCs, the agencies, boards, and commissions, would obviously be a question that would be best left to them inside the core government. There are a number of the government renewal initiatives that are public that you can certainly review that have implications on staff complements in 2016. Those individuals that have been impacted by the early activation or current activation of some of those ideas have been communicated to. And ask Deputy if he has any other comments that he wants to add.
Okay, so those that were identified within core public service, some have been notified of what their future would be, but others that would roll out over future months?
All of the decision points and all of the decisions that have been made have been communicated publicly. As of Friday, we released the list of offices that would have been impacted as a result of the total changes that are happening. And Bruce, is there anything you want to add to that? Everybody's been notified.
Bruce Cooper?
Yes, everyone affected by decisions that are implemented as of this month have been notified, and so there was a process of formal notice provision and also advisory. I mean, there were some employees who would have been told that there's change coming, even though they formal notice may not be provided, because there are some changes that would be occurring later in the fiscal year, depending upon the implementation
plan. Yeah, that's kind of
the
point it was getting to. Some have been specifically identified in regards to the termination of your position or coming to an end, and then based on rolling this out and other things you would do, others may be aware that there's change income in a particular area, but yet the individuals haven't been notified. Is that fair?
No, I wouldn't say that's fair. I think the formal notice, as is required to be provided in advance of making any change to an employee's status, has been provided. The full number of people impacted was shared as part of the budget communication. Those individuals that may be impacted as a result of receiving their official termination notice later in this fiscal year would obviously have been made aware that changes are coming. Out of courtesy, we certainly let those individuals know. When we made the information public, we wanted to make sure that they understood as well what was coming.
So just to be clear, so those ones you just described, that they would be aware that this was coming, would they be included in the 650?
Oh, yes, those.
Okay. Yeah. And would they have a date now that their position would be terminated?
Not all. It depends on the operational decisions that individual departments are making as to when to operationalize that. Sometimes there might be a day or two lag from what was originally planned. So those, in the interest of being transparent with employees, those employees will receive the specific details once the operational decisions are fine-tuned.
Okay, thank you. And the other component that was referenced was attrition. So how would the attrition plan, I think you mentioned that you had identified for this a set number. Would that be consistent in regards to your plan throughout government, that each department would have an identified number for your attrition plan?
The attrition references that we've made, the salaries that were removed from departmental budgets in fiscal 15-16 remain removed.
Okay.
As part of the work that we are undertaking to in the government renewal initiative, you know, the understanding is that we need to look at different workforce models, and the workforce has to be, the workforce plan has to be reflective for the work that's going to be done.
Sure.
The attrition model, as it was communicated last year, didn't include understanding that not all departments and agencies, boards, and commissions all have people proportionately at a retirement age as a slice of their overall salary pie. So there was huge inconsistencies in the ability for departments, agencies, boards, and commissions to operationalize the attrition program as it was presented in last year's budget. The salary amounts that related to the attrition plan of last year that carried forward in this year's budget, we retained those as needed savings as part of this year's budget, and it is our intention to look for more comprehensive workforce planning that would take into account the actual work that needs to be done, the actual attrition that is available to be optimized and used as part of workforce changes in each department, and recognizing that not everybody retires proportionately in every single department, yet that's what the dollar amounts were allocated in last year.
Okay, so the dollars allocated for reduction last year, the last fiscal year, would say were met or were kept in?
They were kept in.
So for this fiscal year?
The announcements that we made, sorry, just to clarify,
yep.
I think this is where the member's going. The reductions that we made as part of Budget 16 were on top of the any salary changes that were a result of the attrition plan from last year.
Okay, so they stayed, and then you did further.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I have nothing further on that section, Mr. Chair.
Shall 3.1.0 carry? Carry. 3.1.09.
Okay, this is an opening doors. Certainly a very important program in government, seeing it work very well and very meaningful in terms of what it offers to a particular group in our society. I'm just wondering, salaries, if you could give us just, there's been sort of a minor change there in terms of salaries, and if there's any changes in the salary complement within the division.
Bruce Cooper.
So we continue to have funding for over 80 individuals to work throughout government, and we of course fund through this allocation all of those salaries through every department where individuals have employment. So there's no changes in the allocation of positions for opening doors. We are making a slight change in our management in that area, where we are eliminating a management position and merging the work of opening doors with the broader strategic initiatives, or the strategic staffing group. This is so that's the only change that is there. You see a bit of an increase because of the JES. We required a little bit more funding to accommodate the reclassifications that occurred through JES.
Okay. And just the one position you spoke there is a manager's position. I think in the announcement, Minister, last week, the budget is 650. If I remember correctly, 200 of those and a certain percentage of those would be management positions. Would this position would be reflective of that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, just grants and subsidies under that heading, it seems, what would that be in terms of those grants and subsidies in particular?
Bruce Cooper?
We provide grants to other employers to facilitate hiring.
Yeah.
And our budget for this year reflects our historical utilization pattern.
Okay. Okay, that's fine with me. That's good.
3.1.09 carried. Carried.
Total.
Shall the title? Carried. Carried.
Mr. Chair, if I could just take a minute to certainly want to thank the minister and her staff and those that were there earlier this morning for their participation here and providing us with the information as we move forward with the estimates and talking about the budget here in House of Assembly. So just to say thank you.
Okay. We call for subpoenas. It's all done. Okay, next meeting, right? Okay. So it's informed that the next meeting of the Government Services Committee will be at 5:30 on Wednesday, April 21st. Or April 20th, sorry, in the chambers. And thank you all for coming, and we motion to adjourn.
Motion. I'll do that motion.
Right. Seconded. Second. Carried.